I really, I had the scripture on my heart. And I don't think it's been that long ago. We led, I know Sunday we preached from Hebrews, but it ain't been that long ago. I believe we read here in the second chapter of Hebrews. But the Lord's had this on our heart seemingly all week. And got some other things that he maybe burdened our heart with, but I want to read in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I think I'll just start there maybe in the first verse of it and read down for a ways. But it says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, a reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also, bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted." I just felt like maybe we ought to read the whole chapter in that. But I got to thinking, and like I say, it may not have been that long ago, we read in this over here where he talks about how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation. And I thought about in that, and what are we escaping? What is man truly trying to escape? And I got to thinking on that, and like you know, I've been to two funerals this week, and through those funerals I was thinking, and I saw the mourning, and I saw the weeping, and I saw the distress on the families and on the friends and the different ones there, and everyone there, death was on their mind. Every time that you go to the funeral home or that you deal with somebody in your life of passing, death, it's got a fear to it. It's got something that scares people. It's got something that brings a torment and a fear in man's life, because there's nothing that we can do about it. Seemingly, under man's eyes, there's not anything that you can do. When God, we say, when it's your time, it's your time, is the way we say it a whole lot of times in our life. And we say, there's nothing we can do about it. When the Lord calls your number, you're going out. And you know what? If there's ever been a true statement, that's truth. When it's our time, it's our time. But you know what man truly would love to do? Man would love to escape the sentence of death on his life. Man would love to be able to get past having to face death. And if there was something that naturally in life that we could tell people, here's this holy water, here's this natural thing. If I could walk up and I could give you something in your hand and tell you, if you take that little pill right there, then you'll live forever and you'll never die. I'm going to tell you something, you'd be a multi-billionaire in this life, because everybody would want to come to it because they could put their hands on it. They could take something natural and they could take and attain eternal life. Do you want to know what? That ain't the way God laid it out. No, He didn't. He said, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works. It takes faith, Larry Cox. It takes stepping out on something you can't see, something that seems like it's the total backwards to the way you ought to go. But you want to know something? How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Man wants to find a new way. Man wants to find something easier. And as I got to studying on this and got to thinking on it, I went back to trying to think through the Word of God at different times. When God supplied a way of escape for His people, when God made a way for people to get out of a situation, and the Lord kept bringing me back, and I was thinking on these thoughts the other week there. He kept taking me back to the children of Israel there when Egypt was after them, and Egypt was right on them, and it was wanting to overcome them, and they come up to where that they was up against the Red Sea over there. And it looked to man's natural eyes, it looked just like, where else can I go? What else can I do? And normally in a man's natural thought, you'd have probably thought, I need to run another way, I need to go another way. But at that very time in life, what did God tell him to do? He said, Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's a lot of times we get down to a place in our life when God's trying to show us this is the only way of salvation, and it looks impossible. That looked like an impossible thing to overcome in that day. There's this great big ocean. There's this great big sea. This great big old body of water. And God said, stand still right here while the enemy's right on your back. Hey, and I'll make a way for you to go. That's why today nobody's wanting to get saved. Because we're getting in our natural mind. We're getting in our way of thinking. We're wanting to go the way we think will work. Did you go over there and you read that? God told him, He said, move forward. And when He said move forward, He told Moses to stretch out the rod. I'm going to tell you something today. They're a place that looks impassable to man today. They'll sit down in the church house. The Word of God will get preached and the Lord will say, here's the way. You're going to be able to cross if you'll step out. Hey, if you'll take faith and extend it out over the waters, and if you'll believe enough to move forward, they're a place of salvation that lies right in front of you. You think that's the smartest looking thing to do in that day?
Was that what everybody's heart wanted to do? No, when the Egyptians put the burden down on them, Gina, they got afraid.
But you know what? There was no way of escape other than moving forward the way God said.
If they had chose to run a different way, if they had chose to flee and to try to go back against that army, if they had tried to run up and down the sides of the body of water, they wouldn't have got no worse. They'd have just got killed. Hey, man, the days of trying to get in other ways, they're trying to go other ways besides Jesus Christ. And I promise you this, it won't work. Hey, you can try to flee. You can try to escape the enemy. But I'm going to tell you what, death's a-coming. Death is on every man, woman, boy, and girl in here tonight. Hey, it's a-coming your way. It may get a hold of you before the day's out.
I went to 2 funerals this week and nobody expecting them 2 ladies to be gone at the age they was. But they're dead. There's something coming after every one of us.
You won't escape it.
Every man, woman, boy, and girl in this life wants to escape death.
Well, I'm here to tell you tonight there's a way. Lays away. Well, preacher, you said everybody dies. This old flesh is going to die no matter what you do. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a soul that don't have to die. There's a soul. Hey, there's a river to be crossed. It looks like it's impossible. It looks like it can't be done. And the Lord says, He sends us to move forward in a way that it looks like there's a barrier there that we'll never cross. Hey, you can sit back there and you can go to thinking there's no way in this world I can walk forward and get an altar and attain eternal life and never die. That's what the devil wants to tell you.
Well, why do you reckon he wants to do that? You want to know what the Lord done to him? He said, "For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise," Jesus did, "took part of the same. He came down in this flesh, that through death he might destroy him that had power over death, that is the devil." You know what Christ Jesus done?
Hey, there's no enemy that man couldn't get rid of. And it was death. Hey, there's no enemy that man couldn't get rid of. Hey, no devil, he was the power. He had power over death. Hey, he had a strength that was there in his life. And you know what Christ Jesus done? He come down and he walked in a flesh, a natural flesh, just like me and you. He was tempted. Hey, he was tempted in all matters, just like me and you are. Hey, but in everything, he overcame it. He walked a perfect life. Hey, and he not only had to face death in the flesh, just like me and you will, but he went to a grave and he died one day. Hey, but on the 3rd day, he was resurrected. And he conquered so that me and you could have deliverance. He overcame so that me and you could go across. What Moses had to do before the children of Israel could walk across, he had to extend the rod. They had to be something cast out there first, didn't they? What the Lord done? He made a way for us. And you know what? When the children of Israel moved forward, those waters parted. What a joyous day. What a joyous day when the enemy's right on your heels. When the enemy's just about to get a hold of you. And you look out. Why, all that neck that seems so impossible. You move towards it. I'll just give you a little bit of my testimony. For years, I was scared to death. And when I lay down, I worried when I closed my eyes, I looked open and bothered the next morning. And I knew there was a hell that I was going to face. And the Lord kept coming to me and he kept showing me, "I'm your salvation. I'm your hope. I'm your help." And I didn't know how to get hold of him. Finally, getting ready to go, I got down on my bed. He said, "Son, you just can't believe. through faith, just reach out and get a hold of him. It looked impossible. It looked like something that couldn't be done. But I tell you what, praise God, that night, that thing that had been scaring me for so long, death and hell, and the old devil that had power over my life, that I was under bondage unto him, he was right on my heels. He was saying, oh boy, I got you. I got you. There ain't a thing you can do about it. I've got you healed up. Your back's against the wall. They ain't nowhere you can go. Hey, but I'm going to tell you what Jesus Christ said. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. When it didn't look like there's no way, James. We lay in our neck bed. According to what my parents thought, most doctors had examined me, I was dead. I was a dead man walking. Hey, old dad had a hold on me. The doctor said, they ain't no way of fixing it. Mom and daddy had got down to the point they didn't know what to do. Hey, our back was against the wall. Hey, the Red Sea was behind us. And God said, stand still. Salvation of the Lord. There wasn't no hope, Gina, as far as the world seemed. I was dying, and I was on my way out of here. Then the man of God got beside my bed, and he said, son, go forward. Just step right on toward death. Walk right towards you. Walk right toward what you look like you think it's impossible. And all I remember, I closed my eyes and I believed in Jesus. And on faith, I stepped out and I walked right towards that very thing that scared me to death. And in my heart, I didn't say it with natural words, but in my heart, I said, Jesus, I believe that death comes to get me tonight. Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. In my heart, I believed he was my Savior. In my heart, I believed enough to step towards the water. And when I stepped out, the waters parted. I walked on dry ground. Can't you just imagine the children of Israel as they stepped out there and looking at them waters heaping up on each side of them? Well, they couldn't believe the path they was taking. They couldn't believe the journey they was on. You're looking at one right here. When I got saved and I stepped out on faith, I couldn't believe what was happening. The whole time I thought, how am I ever going to escape death? How am I ever going to escape it, dude? It's going to get me, Larry. And the Lord said, just hang on. And when I stepped out, through faith, I went to walking through what scared me all the years. I went to walking through what I had such a fear of. And I was in amazement that God had delivered me. There's a lot today, in fact, they're going to walk through the same way me and you are without ever having the blood applied. I'm going to tell you what Pharaoh was on to cry on the hills, but that knew what's wrong with him. The very thing. And what's coming back here. There's a lot today don't think they need Jesus to get through this. You know what they men was doing? They was neglecting their very salvation. You know what people today are doing? They're dying without Jesus and thinking they're going to get across. I don't know if I'm going to die in the midst of that. The wheels fell off. The water's coming on him and consuming them. Child of God will walk through death and he'll never touch you. You give your heart and life to the Lord. I said a few words apart at that funeral today. All I can think about all day long is hope that his son is not hope. I think sometimes you've got to step out and see if I think. There's not going to be a bucket of salvation that I can bring back and dump on a pew and save anybody. Jim Leader had to step back in the forward. It was up to them to do so. You know what would probably have been real easy for them? If the Lord would have just said, parted the waters and said, go on, without them ever having to step forward,
without them ever having to move. Do you know what he wanted out of them?
Faith. Faith to believe. Faith to know that he was God and know that he could deliver. You know what the Lord wants out of us today?
Faith.
Without it, it's impossible to please him. Thought of that today up there, and I won't get into trying to preach a funeral here tonight. But I had a good aunt there. And today I saw two men do a wonderful job standing up there to preach at that funeral. Didn't know where for the running time tonight if I watched her from the time I was just a little man up where I could barely understand who anybody was. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope that is seen is not hope. I watched that lady raise four children.
Had many a time they wasn't a bit of food in the house.
And I watched her hold faith there. Trust God. And a smile on her face every step of the way. She had hope in something that went far beyond this life. She had hope in the God that was doing faulty wonders. She had hope in the God that they may not look like. I thought as I was studying this out, I thought about that little woman over there when Elijah came to her and he told her she was out gathering sticks and she was getting ready to make the last bit of meal she had in the barrel. That last little bit, she was going, the Word of God said she's out gathering sticks to go back and make that last bit she had, and they was going to eat it and they was going to die. She knew that was it, and she knew there wasn't no more coming. Hey, but I'm going to tell you what, hey, when she stepped out on faith, she had some hope right there in that. Man, God said, you make me a cake first. He said, then you eat. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Hope that seems not hope. That little woman had to believe in God. She had to believe, hey, if I give God all I've got, he'll bring enough back to take care of me. Hey, and after doing that, the barrel never went dry. I thought about that little lady that died up there today. We went to that funeral. I saw her many a time step out on faith and believe God. She gave God what was his, and God raised the four children, and there today set up there in that church, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. God multiplied because of that lady's faith. And I promise you today in the house of God, if we'll step out on faith, God will multiply from it.
And we're going to have to believe him. And we're going to have to trust him.
And we're going to have to step out when it looks like there's no hope. But the natural eye. I'm going to say this, it might get down to
he's only me showing up for church.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show up. I ain't going to thank nobody else. That's the way God showed me. I've got to see it. Try to preach something about encouraging. I've got to encourage myself in the Lord. Why? If nobody shows up, if nobody else wants to worship, if nobody else wants my God, I want him. There's some people out there on the other side of the brook by the sword over there. Hey, they need some rescuing. There's some people over there. Hey, you go read that over there where David M. was over there and like I preached from it Sunday if you ain't listening to it. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some people that needed some help from David. There were some people that needed help from the armies of David. Hey, there was a few of them stayed behind. There's a few of them sitting down over there. But praise God, I'm going to tell you one thing today. In the boldness and the power of God here today, I'm not going to give up on God. I'm not going to give up on our objects. I'm not going to lay down. Daniel prayed three times a day. Then they told him he could.
seems impossible.
And I'm going to follow him. I'm going to stay with him. I trust him.
Thank God that kept meal in the barrel. Thank God that delivered children of Israel across the Red Sea. Thank God that's going to save my audience. Thank God that's going to save your audience. It ain't time to give up. And it ain't time to lay down. You know what? You might just be having to stand still for just a little bit before you see the salvation of the Lord. It ain't going to be much longer. He'll say, move forward. Getting on over
in that other chapter after that in Exodus, that 15th chapter, after God delivered them, it said in the 15th chapter there of Exodus, he said, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Hey, I'm thankful today that he said he has become my salvation. I stepped out a long time ago and God brought me across the waters, and he put a song down in my soul. He put a joy down in me that I could glory in him and that I could give him honor. You know what he did the day he saved me? He became my salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I promise you today, there's some today that's neglected this, but I didn't neglect it. I promise you today, I'm a born again child of God. I'm on my way home. I got a song of glory for my Savior today. The whole world can think I'm crazy. They can throw me in a loony bin, but I'll preach the Word of God from a pagan room if I have to.
He's my all in all. As I tell it, he made a day up there. There's a lot of people done preaching. There's a lot of men just done preaching. They're retiring. They're quitting. They're doing all this other stuff. Henry Rice, I can remember going over to visit my papa on him up in his 90s. I'd say, Papa, you've been able to preach much.
He'd say, son, I've been praying that the Lord had opened doors, and I've got to preach a few times.
Ain't no worse to quit than this. Ain't no worse to stop than this. I ain't preaching you a man, but I'm preaching you a man of God. A man that loved the Lord enough to lay on his back in a hospital bed, a fire mission hospital, and preach the gospel from his back that touched the heart of my wife, the word that convicted her soul, she got saved. God help me to do the same.
I said it many a time.
If I leave out here tonight and I'm in a car wreck or whatever in the world could happen to me, I lose my arms, legs, and I can't move a lick. God help me to roll around like a stump in the bed and preach the gospel. God help my voice never to quieten down. Hey, I want them to have to complain. Quieten that man down. Hey, because I'm going to be laying there and I'm going to be preaching the salvation of Jesus Christ through the blood he shed for me. I ain't got nothing to be quiet about. He said to cry aloud, inspire not. I got something to shout about. We can do it when somebody makes it across a touchdown line. We can do it when they shoot a basket. We can do it when they hit a home run. Bless God, I'm going to do it because I'm saved. I escaped something. I escaped death. I escaped hell. You don't think I've got something to shout about? I've got a lot to shout about.
I've got a lot to get glad about.
You think you can escape a different way?
You're sad and sad. Someone brought back another thought about a man that was a fleeing from him over there in the Word of God, in the book of Judges. And he went to running out and he went to fleeing against the armies. And I won't say his name right. I won't even try it. There's a woman standing there and she said, "You can come hide in my tent. And you can escape him." There's a whole lot today trying to tell people they got a different place to hide in. He come in and he said, "Will you keep a watch on the door? Oh yeah, I'll watch the door for you." He said, "I want some water." She said, "I'll give you some milk." And next thing you know, that little lady had to go to sleep right there where he was at. You read it. And so we're in the book of Judges. And that woman took a tent peg and took it, and she drove it through his temple and broke into the ground right there. He thought he had him a good hiding place, didn't he? Then it was pursuing him and caught up with him. And they found him. That one he thought was going to protect him, that one he thought was going to hide him, ended up being the very one that took his life. You think you got a different hiding place and got you a better place? I think not. You won't escape. This great salvation.
The only salvation.
Salvation to the Lord. There's no other way. We're going to escape. A preacher, I don't believe in that stuff. It's not real. Well, you keep on believing that. I stepped out on faith one day and I met a man. I met a man named Jesus. And I've been walking with him. Since I was 12 years old. You want to try to tell me he ain't real? I'll call you a liar. You want to tell me that you're crazy? I'll call you a liar. Because I'm going to tell you something. He's walking with me today. I told this the other day to somebody. We stood Sunday morning and tried our best church to preach a message and send it out on that computer. We're the thing that God laid on our heart. And I said, I ain't never felt so much liberty in my life than anybody in this world that watched what was going on up there in that bedroom in my house. And I thought I was a crazy man. I was standing there with the Bible on an ironing board and just me and the Lord. Four walls to look at, buddy. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I did not walk alone. I tell you this. My faith grew stronger Sunday morning being able to stand with God in a place where there was nobody to look me back in the eye than it ever has in my life. Why, preacher? Because I'm walking across on what looked like something impossible. And I was a hit. Dry ground with every step of the way. God said, "I'll get you to the other side, son. I ain't going to go no other way. I'm going to stay with him." The world will think you're crazy. It's all right. There'll be a few that want to walk the way you went. And they'll realize, if I just listen to the Lord, if I just step out on faith, He'll move everything that's in my way. It may just be a natural thought to y'all this week, but I was riding out the road, and I thought about faith the size of a mustard seed. Moving the mountain. And I thought, here in this life, we'll sit back in all day, and we'll watch me and the big machines. Yeah, they'll come up on these big old massive mounds of dirt and rock, and they'll fly in on it with them big old massive machines, and they'll go to working day after day, and they'll go to moving that alleyway, and they'll say, "Man, what an accomplishment they made, what they done out there." And I thought about the faith of the size of a grain of mustard seed. Boy, if we can't get amazed at that right there. Hey, we take machines and it takes us forever to do it. And sometimes we run into stuff we can't move. But the faith of God's people, just the size of a grain of mustard seed, can move mountains. You don't know why people ain't getting saved, why people ain't shouting like they used to. We ain't using faith no more. They ain't nobody wanting to move forward when God says move. You want to see what God can do? Listen to Him.
You want to see this great salvation at work? Just keep it going when he says go. When everybody around you says, what have you done? You brought us out here to this water here, and we ain't never going to get across. Old Moses just kept his eyes on God and done what God said. I don't care what everybody else is going to say, church. You keep your eyes on God, you do what he says. I'm going to tell you something. It feels different to get to church with people anymore than it used to. It feels different when people stand to preach. That's something that I was thinking about it today. That's something that's shutting people up. When right now would be the time our mouths would be getting open for God. We're living in the day when we're the last hour, church. I preached about the light and the darkness the other day. Do you realize the sun's going down? We're in the evening time. And we better be working for God. And not just sitting back and talking about how bad it is. Why don't we start telling them how good it is? I'm not walking in darkness. I'm walking in light. I can see clearly. I see plainly. This world, just like the Word of God said, it's coming to an end. It's going to burn. And it's going to waste away. And it's going to be gone. They think climate's doing it to it. No, it's coming today. And the Lord's going to speak. They're trying to blame it on everything in the world. But I'm going to tell you what. There's going to be a word spoke by God one day. And he'll declare that time's no more. And there'll be a fire consuming this place. And man never knows anything like it. Like today. There's marrying, giving in marriage. Just living their life all happy-go-lucky right up to the day Noah went in the ark. With not a concern in their heart. You see it going on today. There's nobody worried. There's nobody getting scared no more. We live how we live, we do how we do. We're getting ready to face the wrath of God. We better be shining the light. We better be taking, hey, this ark is safe. That you can get in there. Because there's destruction coming. It's only his sons, their wives, and Noah's wife. It might be him. So, preacher, that's a little disheartening, ain't it? For all the people that's in the world. Noah did all he could do. And that was something that made him. I'm going to do all I can do. If there's one that makes it in. If there's two that makes it in. If three makes it in. I'm going to do all I can do. That's what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. Appreciate God for saving me. I like to go back and remember my salvation. I like to get encouraged in the Lord. How are you going to get encouraged in the Lord? I said it there Sunday, go back to the battles he delivered you. The greatest battle I ever faced was the night I got saved. I'd never seen Jesus. I'd never felt the Lord. I'd never known anything but what I heard. That night, I had to step out and believe in faith. And ever since then, the battle has gotten a little easier to go into because the Lord has delivered me. And it gives me strength for the next one.